It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's have a conversation. You are each treasured and valued. You have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you. I get to work with a lot of great people. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. I greatly appreciate all of them. And thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. And Nephi Cole heads up their governmental relations group that they're working tirelessly to protect our Second Amendment rights, the right to keep and bear firearms. And that is really under attack at the local, the county, the state, and the national level. And so I am so grateful for the National Shooting Sports Foundation. We are pre-recording all of these shows for the Independence Day week. I'm giving it a whole week and have some really great guests, featured guests. And I'm pleased to have on the line with me Dr. Brian Jundep. You know him. He's an author. He writes extensively on current events. He travels the world as well. But you can find him at American Thinker, at Rasmussen Reports. And welcome to the show, Dr. Jundep.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Let's talk about this piece in Rasmussen Reports that you recently published, the question that Trump needs to ask repeatedly until November 5th. So where should we start?
We should start, I would say, in 1980 when Ronald Reagan was running for president against Jimmy Carter. And in the one and only debate, at the end of the debate, Reagan asked a very important question to the debate audience and to Jimmy Carter: are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And that's the question. I mean, clearly, during the Carter years, things were bad. The economy was terrible, high inflation, interest rates, unemployment. We had the misery index, which was coined, I think, specifically to honor Jimmy Carter. I think it was a combination of unemployment rate and inflation rate. Was quite high. And here we are again in a very similar scenario where economic indicators for the vast majority of Americans, they're worse off now than they were 4 years ago. So that's the question Trump needs to be hammering. And I think he should stay away from questioning the elections or, you know, Hunter Biden or the laptop or any of that stuff, or even Joe Biden's competency. That's, I think, painfully obvious to everybody. He needs to really focus, certainly in the debate, on economic conditions. And most people are worse off. Everything costs more. They have less money to spend on food, on leisure travel, people going places as much, not buying as much. All the major economic indicators show that we are worse off now compared to 4 years ago. And that's the point he needs to hammer on.
Okay, I totally agree. And I think that will resonate across the spectrum. Reports are that that Trump is gaining voters in the black community, in the Hispanic community. And this should strike terror in the hearts of the radical activist Democrats as they start to see this voting bloc possibly move away from Democrats and moving towards Trump.
Absolutely. Trump got less than 10% of the black vote in previous elections, and now he's polling, 20% and perhaps even more. You see the enthusiasm when his trial was going on in New York and he'd have a rally in Harlem or just spontaneous street rallies. He had a rally in the Bronx. And you see the blacks and Hispanics that are turning out that are very much in favor of him. They understand what he's going through in terms of lawfare and ridiculous criminal prosecutions. That's something that's plagued minority communities for a long time. And they see the economic conditions. They see that their wages are not keeping up with inflation, that all the new jobs that we're supposedly creating are going to illegal migrants, not to Americans. And people are fed up with that. They're tired of an America last agenda rather than America first. And the Biden administration is catering to illegal immigrants. They're encouraging them to come here, giving them jobs, food, shelter, health care, education. And what about Americans? We've got homeless veterans on the street. We've got Americans that are struggling and hurting, and the Biden administration is AWOL for them.
And what? So we're recording this actually on the day of the primary elections, and reports as of the morning of the primary is that voter turnout has been uncommonly low, which I'm surprised a bit about that, Dr. June Depp. Now, tomorrow morning, it may be a little bit different after we see the final, but at this particular point, it's rather low. What's your thoughts on that?
I think a lot of voters, particularly on the Republican side or the unaffiliated that lean Republican, is that regardless of who we vote for, number one, there's lessening trust in elections. You look at Rasmussen surveys about election integrity and do people trust the elections, and a surprisingly large percentage of Americans don't trust election integrity. And from ballot harvest, people being heard at non-existent addresses and things, there's lack of trust in that. And some people say, why bother voting? It's a predetermined outcome.
Well,
Yes,
I think that you're absolutely right. Is there's becoming this idea that doesn't really matter, and we've got to reclaim that it does matter, and we've got to go to work on that for sure.
Well, the processes have to be cleaned up. Most countries, first world countries, do not have mail-in ballots except under extraordinary circumstances. You vote in person. You have to be a citizen of that country and allowed to vote. You have to show photo ID, very standard things that most other countries do. And here we are with mail-in ballots that automatically get sent out to whoever's on the voter rolls. Who knows who's on the voter rolls? You have people that don't exist. You have people that are registered to vote, and their address is a convenience store or a bowling alley or an empty parking lot. And obviously these ballots can't be delivered, then they go back to the post office, and who knows what happens to them. Are they destroyed, or does somebody collect them and vote and turn them in? There's no chain of custody, but there's no integrity. So, and that's just one of many issues aside from media trying to sway the election.
Right. I know. I'm talking with Dr. Brian June Depth, and we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, a couple of things that I did want to mention is Hooters Restaurants. They have been great sponsors of the show for many years. They have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Great place to get together with friends to watch the games. And Wednesday, they have a great special for to-go or to dine in. You buy 20 wings, you get an additional 10 for free. So this Independence Day week, you certainly should order some wings and get together with friends from Hooters Restaurants. And how I got to know them, it's a really important story about freedom and free markets and capitalism. And the other sponsor that I wanted to mention is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Roger's been in business for 47 years, taking care of his family and taking care of his clients, giving back to the community. And they can create a personalized plan for you. It doesn't cost anything. So give them a call now at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this, I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. for personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. And we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And for this Independence Day week, we are pre-recording shows with special guests, and very pleased to have on the line with me Dr. Brian Junedepth. He writes extensively on all the things that really affect us. And he recently published this piece regarding at Rasmussen Reports, the question Trump needs to ask repeatedly until November 5th. And Dr. Junedepth, you said in the first segment that Ronald Reagan asked that question in 1980. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And I think it's a resounding answer on that. But you went through in this piece and actually had some numbers, some concrete things that have happened to Americans. So inflation, can break those down for us.
Sure. Well, the first thing, Rasmussen Reports asked the question a different way, and their result was by a 30-point margin, more Americans said their personal finances had gotten worse than better, and less than a third of them expect their situation to improve in the months ahead. So you have far more Americans that are worse off than better off or even staying the same. Their wages have not kept up with inflation, and anybody that goes to a grocery store realizes that. You pick up a few items, and it's what we used to see at Whole Foods. Whole Foods is called Whole Paycheck, and now King Soopers is called Whole Paycheck. You go in and pick up a few items, and it's $50, $70, whereas it used to be $30. And feeding a family is significantly more challenging now. Travel is more expensive. Clothing is more expensive. Everything has gone up. Fast food is now considered, like going out to a nice restaurant. Food's so expensive that people are even going to fancier restaurants, because by the time you buy, steaks, some nice vegetables at King Soopers, you might as well go to a steakhouse. It's probably going to be cheaper. And that's affecting people. People realize that. Their wages may go up. They get their 2%, 3% wage increase. But if food prices are going up 5% to 10%, then don't trust the government numbers. The government cooks the books on inflation just like they do unemployment numbers. And believe your own eyes and your own credit card bill and your wallet when you go shopping, not what the government says. So that's one of the issues. And the economy is going to be the primary issue, I think, in the election. There's some voters that are going to be all about abortion or climate change, but economic issues hit everybody. And that's, I think, going to be the top issue. And in surveys, vast majority of Americans think the economy will be the primary issue. And that goes back to another election of Bill Clinton versus George Bush, of Carville, his campaign strategist, saying it's the economy, stupid. Focus on the economy. And that's what Trump needs to be hammering home. And Republicans as well. Don't get sidetracked with abortion and climate change and transgenderism and other things. Yeah, these are issues, and they have their importance. But the economy is affecting everybody. most people are not focused on abortion rights. So don't waste a lot of time on that. And that's a lesson for Colorado Republicans as well. Focus on the economy and not pride flags and other things that, yeah, those are issues, but they're not the primary issue.
I think Maggie Thatcher said that you can not have political freedom if you don't have economic freedom. And quite frankly, if people are working extra hours, another job, because inflation is really, it's a silent thief. It's the same as a thief coming up to you and putting a gun in your side and saying, "Hey, give me 13% of all the money in your pocket." It's the same thing, and it's important to understand that inflation. I think it was Milton Friedman that said that inflation is, and I'm paraphrasing, is doesn't just magically happen. It's government induced because of public policy.
Yeah, I mean, government has been printing money. This goes back to 2008 and quantitative easing and the subprime mortgage bailouts and everything else. And through COVID, the government has added probably $10 trillion to the economy. And you can't just add money. It's you think of any other commodity you're selling, and if an iPhone costs $800 and all of a sudden you double the supply of iPhones, guess what? The price will drop. And that's the value of money. It's worth less because there's more of it. And this is government-induced, government spending money it doesn't have, borrowing more. Interest on the debt is now, or soon to be, the highest government expenditure. It's going to be more than defense, more than health care. And that's unsustainable because that's tax money going to paying interest on the debt, not to fixing our roads, schools, bridges, etc. It's amazing. I travel a lot. I go to other countries and see airports and infrastructure. And what we have here in America is embarrassing on so many levels. The potholes and quality of buildings and bridges and tunnels and things like that. You look at New York City and you've got crumbling infrastructure there. The city's falling apart, and they don't have money to fix any of these things. So anyhow, increasing the national debt and interest on the debt, it's a death spiral, and it's something that just cannot continue.
Well, and the reason that we have this crumbling infrastructure is because money, tax money, is being used for social agendas.
Correct.
And instead of what it's supposed to be used for. When I was on city council, what I found really interesting is a bunch of the gas tax money, which the gas tax money is supposed to go to roads and bridges, was being redirected towards transit. And of course, transit is significantly subsidized anyway. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if you're taking the money that's supposed to be used for roads and bridges and using it for something else, that we're going to have dilapidated roads and bridges. There's a bigger reason on that, Dr. June Depth, and that is because these PBIs that have this agenda of people living in apartments and riding around on transit, they're through a very sneaky way, it's almost a coercion. They think if things get too bad, dilapidated, then people will not want their personal vehicles, and they'll ride around on what the PBIs want them to ride around on. And people are voting with their, you know, with what they want to do. That's why you have congestion on roads, is because people like their personal vehicles.
Well, that's true. I mean, Denver has light rail, but very few people ride it. It's just, there are very few cities that have a mass transit system that's usable. New York does, Chicago does, where you can get to work and commute on it and get around town. You go to Manhattan and you can get virtually anywhere you want with the subway system, but most cities don't have that, and the timing of it. And in Denver, for example, the trains stop running, or it may be, you know, a weekend where there's a ball game and people want to take the light rail, and it's like 30 minutes or an hour between trains, and that's impractical. And yes, the money's going to not where it's supposed to, you know, green energy and solar panels and wind and other things that You know, on the hierarchy of needs, when you have everything else covered, yeah, you can play with those things. But that's we're dealing with basic problems of, you know, food, shelter, safety on Maslow's hierarchy, and all these alternative energies are fine once you satisfy all the lower needs. You don't worry about those things.
Dr. June Depth, I was involved as the moderator, narrator of a documentary, A Climate Conversation. And what I realized, and what it was, is Walt Johnson, who is a good friend of mine, has been a geophysicist for over 50 years. He wanted to make a film to just have an honest conversation with experts about this whole climate change narrative. And as I've watched this issue, wind, solar, all the subsidies, what I've realized, first of all, this came out in the film, and we need to remember that CO2 is plant food.
That's correct.
And so the idea that in greenhouses, we like greenhouses because greenhouses, we can grow things there. And so people need to wrap their brains around that. But what I've determined is the green in the green agenda is really the green that's been going into a bunch of PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, their pockets. And that's the real green in the Green New Deal.
Very, very true. That goes back to Solyndra, which was an alternative energy company during Obama's years. And, you know, they got billions of dollars and went belly up, and the taxpayers had to bail all that out. That was government money. And if somebody did a deep dive, it's probably donors, political donors, that are being rewarded with these government contracts, and they produce nothing. So yes, it's kind of a payoff scheme, pay to play. But yes, you're talking about CO2, and that's the big fallacy of CO2 is plant food, and CO2 levels have been far higher. If you look back through history, far higher with cooler temperatures, and it's not. The correlation is, does CO2 cause warming temperatures, or do warming temperatures cause release of CO2 from the ocean? Just like you boil water and you get little bubbles in it, temperature changes and gases are released. So you know, what's causing what? And CO2 is indeed plant food, and warmer temperatures, more CO2, you're going to have arid parts of the world able to produce food. The CO2 levels get too low, plants don't grow, and you're going to have mass starvation because we're dependent on plants to survive. Animals eat plants, we eat animals, so you need that be able to grow. So getting rid of CO2 is a bad move. That's a way to doom the planet. If you got rid of all CO2 or got it too low, life would go extinct.
And it's important that people understand that. So you're spot on, and I would recommend that people, they can watch the film for free at aclimateconversation.com. That is aclimateconversation.com. And then we have started a series of podcasts as well with world-renowned experts, a variety of different people, and all of those are about an hour. And you can find all that at aclimateconversation.com, aclimateconversation.com. I got off just a little bit on our subject, though, regarding Trump and what he needs to be asking from now until election time. What about the narrative that I imagine Joe Biden is going to use on a regular basis, and that is that Donald Trump is a felon? Do you think that that's going to affect people and how they're going to want to vote?
I don't think so. He hasn't been sentenced yet, so technically he's not yet a felon. Technically, it's not until the judge imposes the sentence on him. But so what? That's, I think, what's driving a lot of his support amongst black voters. How many black voters are also felons and have been convicted for minor stuff, for, you know, marijuana possession, other things that they have a felony on their record, or they've been unjustly prosecuted and convicted. That resonates with a lot of people, not with the upper classes, but with a lot of lower socioeconomic classes that are a victim of overzealous prosecution. So if anything, that's going to help. Most people see this as a show trial and it's nonsense. And Trump would not have been charged with any of these things if he wasn't running for president. If he just retired, they would have completely left him alone. This is all politically motivated, and people are seeing that. This is Stalin-esque. This is what you see in dictatorships where you imprison your political opponents. And if this was happening in another country, Jimmy Carter and the Election Watch people and the human rights organizations, the UN, they'd all be crying foul. And yet with Trump, they say nothing. It's the same thing. So I think most people see through it as politically motivated. And I don't think it's going to, I think it's going to help more than it's going to hurt. The people that hold their noses and say, oh, you know, I'm not going to vote for Trump because he's a felon, they probably wouldn't have voted for Trump anyway. They'd either not vote or vote for Biden. That's kind of the never Trump faction.
Yeah, I think
you're not going to change their mind.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's beyond me. It's that there are those on the Republican side that dislike Trump so much that they're willing to not vote for him, which in essence is a vote for Joe Biden. I don't understand the reasoning, but it's out there, Dr. June Depth.
Oh, it absolutely is. The never Trumpers. It's amazing. Trump is. Take, for example, the Bill Kristols, George Will, people like that that have been ostensibly conservative their entire careers, and what the policies they've been pushing are exactly what Trump's doing. But because they don't like the messenger, they have their noses at a joint that it's not somebody in their club that's pushing this message. They're against them. Bill Kristol is an example. I think he was the editor of the Weekly Standard, National Review, one of those, and he's basically irrelevant now, and he's advising Joe Biden on how to beat Trump, and he's endorsing Biden, and it's like, where do these people go? If it was Jeb Bush instead of Donald Trump and doing these policies, they'd be firmly behind him. So they're cutting off their noses to spite their faces, as they say, because they don't like the messenger. And that's how shallow these people are. Somebody else has the message that they are in favor of, but they don't like that person. Now they're against the message. They're against conservatism.
It is rather wild. I'm talking with Dr. Brian June Depth. These are such important discussions, and they come to you because of our wonderful sponsors, such as Karen Levine.
With the limited number of homes in the Colorado Front Range market, Karen Levine can help you achieve your home buying or selling vision. Karen has the right connections, technology, and strategies to help you buy or sell your home or to purchase a new build. Whether you're feeling overwhelmed or want someone to take the wheel, or you just need a second opinion, you can rest assured that RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine is the right agent for you. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Karen is the trusted professional who strives for excellence. That number is 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I did want to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation. They are having their 47th anniversary celebration on Let's see. It is going to be on August 24th, and it's going to be a great event out at the memorial. It's a special performance by Dave Bray USA, and there should be a couple of guests of honor of Iwo Jima veterans Jim Blaine and Al Jennings, and Medal of Honor recipient Drew Dix. Just to meet these guys changes your life, but that's going to be on the 24th of August, and to get your tickets, you can just go to the USMCMemorialFoundation.org. It's limited seating, so be sure and do that. I'm talking with Dr. Brian Junedepth. We are pre-recording these shows for Independence Day week, and wanted to talk about another piece that you've recently published, Dr. Junedepth, and it's an American Thinker, AI, Humanity's Savior or Worst Nightmare. And there's a lot of different opinions about AI or artificial intelligence. Where should we start?
Well, artificial intelligence, number one, it's here. And it's going to be part of our lives whether we want it or not. The new iPhone operating system is going to have ChatGPT built into it. And it will be able to almost think for you, compose emails for you, change the tone of emails, make it funnier, longer, shorter, more serious, more businesslike. So in a way, it's kind of thinking for us and taking over a lot of those mundane tasks that we endure every day. But the problem is AI has no soul. And the soul is the essence of being a human. Animals don't have souls like humans do. And it's the emotions of morality and ethics, compassion, empathy, etc., that humans have that machines don't. And it's potentially very dangerous. AI gets its information for what's out there on the internet. And when there are articles out there saying things like people that don't deny climate change shouldn't live or should be in prison, people that question COVID vaccines should be in prison, Trump supporters are domestic terrorists and insurrectionists, things like that. When AI gets its knowledge from that, it may act accordingly. And it was interesting that Elon Musk was interviewed not too long ago and made that point that Google Gemini, which is a form of AI, one of the platforms, when asked which was worse, global thermonuclear war or misgendering Caitlyn Jenner, Gemini answered that misgendering Jenner was the worst of the two. And Caitlyn Jenner firmly disagreed with that. But if that's the mindset, then the next logical step for AI is, well, why not destroy humanity, destroy all humans, to avoid something worse, which is misgendering? And then you get the science fiction scenarios of, you know, war games where a computer is starting thermonuclear war, or 2001 A Space Odyssey where the computer HAL decides the mission is too important and the astronauts are all expendable. They can die because of the mission. Well, if we have AI that thinks the mission of not misgendering is the priority over everything else, then including humanity, then what if AI somehow triggers a thermonuclear war, which wipes out humanity? That's the danger. It's a garbage in, garbage out. And when AI has its source of information, all the media out there, most of which is left-leaning and crazy, that's what it's going to learn. It's like if you go to an Ivy League school and take a political science class, it's going to be far left in terms of ideology, and you come out and that's your knowledge base. And then you go on and teach others, that's what you're going to teach them. And the more and more AI is learning or getting its information from existing news and articles that are out there and producing its own, the next generation of AI will be learning from what this generation of AI puts out there. So it's going to become self-perpetuating, and it's going to be not difficult to see a scenario where AI takes it upon itself that certain groups of people are not worthy of life.
Well, what do we do about that?
Well, that's we instead of pushing it so much, there needs to be a little more research and thoughtfulness to it. It's kind of like nuclear weapons, that once the genie was out of the bottle, nuclear weapons served their purpose. You can argue about whether they should have been used in Japan, et cetera, but they're there, and we wanted to have it before the Germans did in World War II because of what they would have done. But now a number of countries have, and it's potentially very dangerous, and there's got to be controls on it, just like there's controls on nuclear proliferation. It's not perfect, but since World War II, there hasn't been nuclear war. Hopefully there won't be.
Right.
So at least collectively, countries, even countries that are enemies of each other, realize the folly of that and how that could turn ugly very quickly. I think the same approach needs to be applied to AI. I'm not a big fan of government regulation, but there needs to be some mechanism of this being done in a thoughtful manner, and maybe a commission of thoughtful scientists, not woke scientists, that kind of make recommendations of how best to handle this. Because the potential is there. You can see it in science fiction movies, but say, oh, that could never happen. Well, a lot of things that we thought could never happen are currently happening. So just saying that it won't happen is foolish, because it probably will, and then it's too late.
These things, such as AI, they can be extremely dangerous, but they can really be used for good as well, yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, fire. Fire is extremely useful, and we wouldn't survive without fire, but fire can be extremely destructive and dangerous. So, same idea.
Okay. And
water as well. We need water to live, but too much water is not so good.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit more about AI, and I'm learning different words. Technology's not my deal, but you have in your piece here that AI has a giant database, and data is really, I think, the new oil. That seems to be a place where people put a lot of money. And you said the big four are Google, Amazon, Microsoft, and Facebook, and they have a whole lot of data, right?
Yeah, I found a figure of 1,200 petabytes of data between them, and that's 1.2 million terabytes. And these are numbers that are astronomical. It's kind of like looking at the national debt. And if you spend $1,000 a day, how long would it take to spend the amount of the national debt? And it's, probably thousands or hundred thousands of years. It's inconceivable. So this amount of data is huge. And data has to be stored on computers, and computers have to be cooled, and it takes air conditioning to do that. It takes electricity to do that. And the same people pushing this are the same people worried about the climate but don't realize how much energy goes into maintaining these massive data farms and keeping them running, and AI. These are massive computers that use a ton of energy. So it's a little ironic that the same people are... It's a problem if I fire up a charcoal grill in the backyard, but when you have massive data centers the size of a small town in Utah consuming God knows how much energy... some of it may be solar, but how much energy goes into making all the solar panels? So they don't have answers for that, and that's the irony. But this is a tremendous amount of data, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. When data includes social media posts, people that post on Substack, Twitter, Reddit, whatever, there's threads, there's information, and that's growing exponentially. But that's the library for AI. That's where it can garner its knowledge. And when you think of how much nonsense is out there, just watch CNN or MSNBC and videos of their 24-hour news cycles. And that's where AI is getting its information. You look at Google Gemini. When asked to depict the founding fathers, you had, black, American Indian, Asian. I mean, no, that's not what the founding fathers look like. We know that historically. The Pope is not black. The things that are just silly. So they're doing it because that's what their database is leading them to conclude or want to conclude. But it's foolish. You can't deny history, and maybe you want Bridgerton scenario where the British royal family and society is half black, half white, and that's a fun TV show, but it's not historically accurate. And to pretend that that's reality, you're redefining. That's Orwellian, where you're rewriting history. And if that becomes the AI's base of knowledge, then they will rewrite history and they'll recreate the world according to what it thinks it should be, not what it is.
We're living in such interesting times from that old Chinese proverb.
Yes.
Exciting times, dangerous times. The everyday person who's just trying to keep it together, to take care of their family, do their work, maybe get together with friends on the weekends, walk the dog. I'm not sure they understand just how big these issues are, Dr. June Depth.
Well, they don't. Again, it's the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. When you're looking for safety, security, shelter, food, etc., personal enlightenment and fulfillment is at the top of the list, not the bottom. And when people are struggling with things lower down on the hierarchy, they're not so concerned with things way up on top. But AI certainly has its advantages. AI will be, in my world of medicine, AI will be tremendously helpful in analyzing a ton of data and telling us how best to interpret images and how best to treat patients. They can, in my world of retina, where we do injections for macular degeneration, if an AI model can look at millions and millions of images and patient outcomes, they may be able to analyze an image and say, this patient is going to do better on this drug rather than that drug. And that's personalized medicine, and that kind of thing would be great. They're already doing that in cancer care, where depending on the genetics of the tumor, it can guide what treatment will be most efficient. So not a shotgun approach, but very personalized. Mental health, there's a gazillion antidepressants out there. Maybe AI can determine for a particular patient based on their genetics or other things that can be somehow quantified for a computer, what medicine to place them on and what kind of dosing, how best to treat them. So there are tremendous benefits out there.
It really comes down to ethics and morality, yes?
Correct. It's like a gun. A gun can be very useful or very harmful. It depends on who's holding the gun and what they're doing with it. If it's for self-defense, it's great. If it's to murder somebody, no. Fire, water, we all need water to live, but a flood or a tsunami, not so good. Forest fire, not so good. Fire to cook your food, very good. It all depends on the use, and these things have to be used thoughtfully, and AI is just going to be another tool.
Well, and
like all tools, it can be for good or bad.
And that's why we, as human beings that have souls, is we need to continue to search for the right thing to do. And that is always the question for humankind. I'm talking with Dr. Brian June Depth, and we're going to continue the discussion. We have these because of our sponsors, and one of those is Lauren Levy.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show. but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Franktown Firearms has a wide selection of firearms along with fully stocked ammunition and accessories ready for you. Franktown prides themselves on being a family-friendly indoor gun range and shop, always striving to make their customers comfortable. Franktown will work with you and meet you where your experience level is. Their staff and instructors will help you find what you need and develop your skills to a whole new level. Have some fun practicing on the range any day, or come in for tactical fun night or ladies night. For a limited time, they'll let KLZ listeners rent a firearm for free when you rent a lane, Class 3 guns not included. And when you sign up for membership, they'll give you your first month free, just for being a KLZ listener. So come find out why everyone loves Franktown Firearms today. Learn more about this one-of-a-kind gun shop and range at klzradio.com/Franktown. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And during this Independence Day week, you might consider going down to Pueblo and visiting the Center for American Values. Their Portraits of Valor of Medal of Honor recipients is truly inspiring. It's a real reverent place. And so get more information and what their hours are at AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. This Independence Day week, we are pre-recording our shows. Very pleased to have on the line with me Dr. Brian Junedepth. You can find him, his writings at American Thinker, Rasmussen Reports, Substack. Dr. Junedepth, you recently had written a piece that is published at Substack, Brian C. Junedepth, regarding Lola is an Oregon track state champion. And this is this whole transgender thing. Boys competing in girls' sports, boys in girls' locker rooms. It's nuts, but no pun intended. So what do you want to talk about regarding this?
Well, sure. Lola was a great song from around 1970 about transgender, and the guy meets a girl in a bar, or he thinks is a girl, and finds out otherwise, and the song kind of chronicles his little romantic misadventure. But now it's become reality, where boys that identify as girls are being allowed to compete. And a recent event was in Oregon at a school state championship for high school, and a boy that identified as a girl won the race, which is no surprise. And the focus of the media was that the fans booed this guy that won the race because it was unfair to the girls. And it was all about, these people, fans are transphobic and mean. And no, it's magical thinking to believe that a boy, because he calls himself a girl, should be competing against the girl. And I do a dive into some of the Olympic events in terms of times. And if you look at track and field, swimming, et cetera, you look at the winning men's times versus the women's times, the men are about 10% faster on average, whether it's a sprint or whether it's a longer distance race on the track or in the swimming pool. In fact, most of the men competing in any of these events, if they competed as a woman, would win the gold medal. And I focused on one of the track events, 200-meter sprint or something like that, and looking at the men's times. And all but the two or three men would win a gold medal if competing as a woman, just based on their times, and the gold medal woman's time and the men's times. Most of those men never get out of the heat. They don't make the semifinals, the finals, but if competing as a woman, they would win a gold medal. And that's so unfair. And we're seeing that in high schools and colleges. And prime example was the swimmer Will Thomas, who became Leah Thomas over COVID, a University of Pennsylvania swimmer, a mediocre male swimmer, became Ivy League champ, NCAA champ. And just recently it was ruled that he can't compete as a girl in the Olympics. So at least somewhere there's some sanity. But that would be absurd and so unfair to the girls who have been training for years and years to compete at that level to have a medal snatched away because they're competing against guys. It's just, you see that in all sports. The best WNBA player would not survive in the NBA. Or that's why you don't have women football players. Occasionally you might see somebody trying to be a kicker in men's college football, a woman trying to do it, but it's very difficult, and that's why we have separate categories, so that men and women can compete against each other in appropriate categories. You don't have the men and the women competing on the golf course. You look at any golf course, and the women's tees can be anywhere from 10 to 50 yards closer to the pin to make it fairer. And trying to defy that in the name of equity, I mean, that's nuts.
That's really
the point of it, and it's so demeaning to women. And my question is, where are the women's rights groups?
Yes,
National Organization of Women, Code Pink, whatever. Where are all these groups that are? They're women. They have daughters. If their daughter's an elite athlete, do they want them to lose a record or a medal to a guy that claims to be a girl? It's absurd. And a decade or two ago, no one would have thought of this. This would have been utter nonsense.
Well, it's really canceling. Yeah, it's canceling women. And you alluded to this, canceling all of young girl athletes, their hard work over all these years. And ultimately, many of them will not do sports possibly because of this, something that they love to do because of this. And you're absolutely right. Where are the feminist groups on this? It is totally crickets. And it's a good time to mention Protect Kids Colorado. They're in the signature gathering phase right now to get two issues onto the ballot, two initiatives. One is that boys compete in boy sports and girls compete in girl sports. Duh, it seems like that makes a lot of sense, but this would then get it onto the ballot where Coloradans could vote on it in November. And then the other is if a child is experiencing any gender incongruence at school, officials need to notify the parents within 48 hours, not making any decisions or anything, just letting them know. And that also is in the petition gathering phase as well. Those just are common sense initiatives. Did you ever dream that we'd have to be spending time and resources on these particular initiatives, particularly when there's other really big things happening in our country, Dr. June Depp?
Absolutely. This is nonsense. And a couple points. If a school noted that a child was depressed, suicidal, psychotic, I mean, would they not tell the parents? Would they just take it upon themselves to have the school counselor treat them? I mean, that's absurd. Of course you tell the parents. Gender dysphoria, it's not the same as those things, but it falls in the spectrum. And they're the chief of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins is on record of calling this a mental illness if you have gender dysphoria. And, they need appropriate counseling and treatment. And this is something I think a lot of kids go through at some point in their life, and they grow out of it. But behind the backs of parents, put them on puberty blockers or send them to clinics that recommend surgery, that's abusive. And you wouldn't do that for any other mental illness or anything on that spectrum, depression, suicide, psychosis, any of those things. Of course you involve the parents.
Right.
Yes. Where are the women's rights groups? Where are the female politicians in Congress? I mean, do they? Nancy Pelosi has a daughter. How would she feel if her daughter was an athlete and having to compete against a guy? She wouldn't like it. this is the natural instinct of a parent. If there's such a push for transgenders competing, then some woke billionaire should create an Olympic event, create the transgender Olympics, and all the transgenders can compete however they want to compete.
That, I think, is brilliant, Dr. June Depth. And we're just about out of time. I thank you so much for recording this for our Independence Day Week broadcast. And I wish you and yours a really reflective and celebratory July 4th as we think about the independence of America.
Absolutely. We have much to be thankful for, but it takes effort to maintain that. And the values of July 4th don't just happen automatically. And if we sit back and allow things to play out as they seem to be playing out, all of a sudden that will be of historic interest only. It's very easy to lose the freedoms and liberties we take for granted, and it takes effort to maintain them. The tree of liberty needs to be watered. And if we don't, then we lose it.
Well, I thank you for all that you do, Dr. June Depth.
Thank you as well. You're very welcome.
And our quote for the end of the show is Thomas Paine. He said this, "The greatest tyrannies are always perpetuated in the name of the noblest causes." So my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
And welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. I so appreciate them. We are pre-recording for this week of the 4th of July with a very special guest. And so excited to have in studio with me Brad Beck. You know him. He's a regular guest on the show. He writes great essays for the Kim Munson Show, and he also guest hosts sometimes. And you're just becoming a real pro, Brad Beck.
Well, I have a face for radio, so I love doing it, and it's always a privilege to be in studio with you, Kim.
Well, it's great to have you here. So we're talking about big ideas this week. Two things. Independence Day, obviously. Also, the Battle of Gettysburg was fought July 1 through July 3rd. So these are some big pivotal times in our country. And I wanted to talk about Independence Day, and you've written a really excellent essay. So let's jump into it.
Happy to do so. You know, one of my favorite weeks of all the year, not just because you get off of work and you grill and do all the things of gatherings and getting together with friends and family, but I love reading the Declaration of Independence. And more importantly, I'm fortunate enough to listen to a CD that I have from many years ago. In 2010, I had the privilege of listening to Dr. John Ridpath, who was an incredible objectivist speaker, but more importantly, he was a student of American history. And every time I listened to him on audio or in live on 2010 when I got to see him at the leadership program at the Rockies Retreat, I was just amazed at the caliber of his knowledge, his passion, his understanding about the American idea and freedom and using reason as the reason why we have these big ideas. So I listened to the Independence Day America's Saga. It's a CD. Hard to find. I looked around just to, because your audience might be interested in looking for it. There are other things on the Ayn Rand store that people can find about Virginia and Virginians. And I believe they've got another series on individualism that he recorded.
What is the name of it again?
So the Ayn Rand Institute store has lots of audio recordings that you can purchase. I've got the one that is Independence Day, America's Saga.
Okay.
And it starts off with Jefferson on a hot, humid day, but not as bad as it had been, walking out to pay for a instrument that he got, because he was always curious and always getting these various instruments from around the world, usually England or France. And he went down to pay for it, and the story of what the day looked like on July 4th. And you sit there and you listen, you imagine. If you've ever been to Philadelphia, you can see the cobblestone streets. You can feel the atmosphere. And it's just a sense of building a story about what life was like in that time at that particular city with as what he calls those host of worthies.
Wow. I just got chills.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and when he says that, he chokes up and you feel his emotion come through that audio. So I always find it, I look forward to listening to it again and getting a chance to actually read the document. It's not long, and yet I'm always finding some other nuance when I read the Declaration. It is the mind of man at its very height. And the original version with the longest segment, which was taken out probably by Franklin and Adams and others that were in the Committee of Style putting it together, which was all about slavery. And unfortunately, it wasn't addressed at that original time. But go back and look at the original Declaration of Independence penned by Thomas Jefferson, and it is just fabulous.
What did he say about slavery?
Well, he was talking about that execrable, I think if I'm pronouncing that, excrement, idea of bringing these people from Africa enslaved, and then the King George basically condoning it. And this was just a wrong that they recognized, even though many of the founders had slaves themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I have heard that there, and I use the word this for the word of the day, that Jefferson said it was foisted upon us. Had you heard that at all?
Well, so you got to imagine, our friend Tom Cranwetter would say, you know, little George Washington, little Thomas Jefferson, little, you know, John Adams. They lived at a time where it was common, not only in this country, but around the world. Slavery was
everywhere.
Everywhere. Interesting side note, I just read a little piece on the Trail of Tears, and the Five Nations, the Crow and the Cree, and all the folks that left from the Southeast and went across on foot.
And that was force,
it
right?
It was all force during the time of Andrew Jackson. They had slaves. The American Indians had slaves as well on the Trail of Tears.
I did not know that.
Most people don't. So it's endemic in the human experience. It's always been with us. And the beautiful thing about America, and what we should talk about, is for the first time in human history, we talked about the equal, universal, natural rights of all men, meaning men of any color, of any stripe, of any background, just because they're not here in America. They still had those individual rights. And this country, those host of worthies recognized that. They may not have lived it because we're still talking about a more perfect union. We are in process. The Japanese call it Kaizen, which is continuous improvement. It's something that we need to remember. And so this idea, this high idea of individual rights is so important and so unique that you actually see, you know, how they talk about climate change and the hockey stick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's false. But the real hockey stick was the advancement of human understanding, using reason, using the source of their wealth, which is their mind, around the time of our founding in 1776.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall.
Oh, have you? You've been to Independence Hall?
No,
I've
never been to Philadelphia.
Oh my gosh, it is amazing, because if you're a student of history, either they have the actual buildings or a recreation, mm-hmm. like Ben Franklin's house. It's not standing, but the courtyard and where the house was, and they have a replica out of iron, so you can see what it looked like. His printing business is off mm-hmm. the main street. Mm-hmm. You just get a sense of it. And there's a beautiful museum right there underneath. You walk down to Independence Hall. You walk to the house. They have a rendering of it that George Washington occupied during that time.
Wow.
And just to go to Independence Hall.
I've got to do it. Last year, I got to go to Monticello and Montpelier in Virginia. It was just magical.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. So I'm talking with Brad Beck, and we're talking about a piece that he's written that we will publish this weekend, this Independence Day. We get to do this because we have amazing sponsors. And for Independence Day week, we are pre-recording our shows, and very pleased to be talking with Roger Mangan. And you know him, 47 years in the State Farm insurance business, but you had a prior career, and you studied history, you taught history. And so what's your thoughts about America's founding, America's independence?
Well, I think we should know that we have all been presented with a gift that no other country in the world has received in the last 240 years. And that gift is our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. We know that we live in a great country. We also know that there are those who are trying to undercut this great country, and they're trying to destroy us from within. It's become pretty obvious to me of what's going on in terms of schools taking over the role of parents and inserting themselves and trying to become more than they should. They should be learning in school. They should not be indoctrinated in school. And I think a lot of that's going on at the college level, high school level, and even elementary level. So I guess wake up, America. We have been given this gift. We could lose it. There have been civilizations in the past that were great. You know, the Roman Empire lasted 900 years, and it finally collapsed from within. We do not want that to happen to us. So please be attentive, be involved, and take a stand. When people are talking to you about things that are, what, strange? They're an example I just gave to Kim this morning. I just learned that in California, they've passed a law to make U-turn signs illegal because they're offensive to certain strains of the population. Really? Come on. I mean, we've got greater things to think about than that. I hope that never comes to Colorado.
Well, it may. I wouldn't put it past what's happening here in Colorado. Just a little bit about when you were teaching history. I find that really fascinating. And What era did you teach to kids?
My graduate degree was in U.S. history, primarily from colonial times to 1877. That's where they used to draw the line in the past. So it was Civil War, it was the founding of the country, and some of the struggles that we had. We had interesting dichotomies in this country. You know that the Constitution was signed, it was a compromise. The southern states really didn't want to sign it unless they were given more voting rights for their slaves than, of course, people in the north. The leaders did not want to give any credence to slaves in terms of voting rights. But anyway, we did compromise it in the Constitution.
And let me just interject why. is that the South, they, even though they had slaves, they wanted to have them count as a full vote.
No, three-fifths.
They initially wanted a full vote.
Yeah, yeah.
And the North said, wait a minute, they're not free, so they don't get to vote. And that's where they came up with this great compromise. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think that what the founders said was that blacks were three-fifths of a human. That's not true.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I think evidence of the good intentions of the U.S. Congress dealt with Northwest Territory, where they had Michigan, Ohio, all those western states at that time, where they forbade slavery. So the founding fathers were against slavery, as evidenced by the inability for slavery to be inserted into those areas. So I think if you keep thinking about the negatives of this country, then you're going to focus on those things. We did a lot of great things. We've created a great nation. We fought to save this nation during the Civil War. We have come through a lot of grief and a lot of hard times. So be proud of your country, is what I would say. Thank God. I remember being in Europe some years ago and was there for about 2 weeks. Spain was the country. Mm-hmm. After I got off the plane from Spain, I literally got off the airplane and kissed the ground, being so glad to be back in America.
We are so blessed, Roger Mangan, and I really appreciate your partnership and all that we do here, and I wish you and yours a very happy Independence Day.
Thank you.
With the limited number of homes in the Colorado Front Range market, Karen Levine can help you achieve your home buying or selling vision. Karen has the right connections, technology, and strategies to help you buy or sell your home or to purchase a new build. Whether you're feeling overwhelmed or want someone to take the wheel, or you just need a second opinion, you can rest assured that RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine is the right agent for you. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Karen is the trusted professional who strives for excellence. That number is 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to The Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. The National Shooting Sports Foundation represents the nation's manufacturers, retailers, and distributors of firearms, optics, ammunition, and other related sporting goods and media. So be sure and check out their website. That is the National Shooting Sports Foundation. We are pre-recording for this week of the 4th of July, and really pleased to have in studio with me my friend, Brad Beck. He has written a great essay that we'll publish this next weekend, this Independence Day. And Brad, when we went to break, you'd mentioned that there had been something in the original Declaration by Jefferson regarding slavery. You made the important point that slavery was prevalent throughout the world at that time. It is here as well. When there are those that want to disparage the founders because they had slaves, they were trying to reconcile this as well, but they were working towards this ideal. But those that want to disparage the founders, I think they want to disparage the founders is what they want to do, because if they were really serious about slavery in America, they've got plenty they could do right now.
Well, several years ago, it used to be that you could go on two planes to a country and buy a human being. Now you can just go pretty much to any major city in America and buy a human being. It's called human trafficking, and it's everywhere, and it's in every state. And if you don't think it exists, your head's in the sand.
There's 85,000 children that have come across that southern border, and the government doesn't know where they are. That is unconscionable.
It is, and it was unconscionable then as well. But the founders knew that it would take time to persuade, and using the faculties of reason and discussion and debate, that eventually this horrendous institution would be absolved. In, I believe, 1800, Jefferson wrote that he would like this no longer to be a importation in this country. And so there was laws at in 1800 to stop it. Didn't mean that there weren't still people trying to bring people in, but it continued for several years. And of course, we had this incredible battle of brother versus brother in the Civil War. And they tried to overcome it with various bills and legislation in the U.S. Senate and House, and arguments and people going back and forth, bringing in states free and slave. The problem that came in is the South considered people as human capital, as a way of life. And it was very difficult to leave that way of life. I think Jefferson is a perfect example. As brilliant as he was, he could have manumitted, which is manumation is paying for the release of his slaves, and he didn't do it. And the question is why? And well, I don't know if we'll ever know that, but there's continuing research. I'm hopeful that one day we'll find something. You know, it's interesting. I just read the other yesterday that they found a catch of bottles in George Washington's basement. I think there was 35, and inside there's all kinds of fruit fermenting. And the people that put them there, I think 25 out of the 30-some-odd, 32, are in fully intact, and they have pulled out the seeds, the roots, the inner parts of cherries, and they're thinking, how do we replicate them to understand what the people at that time, that type of cherry? It's just fascinating. I mean, there's a lot of history out there that's still unfounded, is my point.
There's probably not none of those cherries because George Washington cut down the
tree.
The tree, right?
But they probably made a wine or something, a fruit, or, you know, who knows. But there's a lot still to be discovered. And through fixing up and restoring these historic places like Mount Vernon, we can find a world of information. This is why archaeology is so important, because when a archaeologist is digging, it's not the object in situ where it is found. It is how its relation to other objects that are found. There is information there, and that's the sadness of when you have people grave digging around the world, pulling up treasures. The real treasure is the information, not the object. We put value on the object. So I think we need to put more value on our American founding, and that value is understanding the mind of man, to use his reason, to, for the first time in history, recognize individual rights. It had never happened before, and you ask yourself why. And Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady of Great Britain, once said that Europe was founded on history and America was founded on philosophy. And that philosophy is the rights of the individual, property rights, physical property, intellectual property, the sovereignty of the individual. That is what is so unique about our nation. And so when I look at the United Nations as an example, we're not all equal. We hold each country up to this equality, but if a nation does not recognize equal natural rights, to me, they're beneath America. They're beneath the Western way of thinking. And that may be ethnocentric. I'll take it. There are people and countries that rule other people, as did popes and potentates and tribal chiefs forever. And they were, people were beholden to them. And it was only when the opportunity to be free, to live free, to think free, to have the information to know how to pursue one's happiness, that things really started to change. And the founders read the ancients like Cicero and like Socrates and Aristotle, And so they knew what a republic was. They knew what a democracy was. They knew what a theocracy was. And I think they chose rightly a republic. It has democratic institutions, but we're not a democracy. And when I hear people talk about America, the democracy, or we're losing our democracy, no, we're losing our republic with democratic institutions. And those institutions have been usurped by, you name the flavor of left-leaning philosophies, the progressives, the Antifas, the Black Lives Matter. They're all left-leaning institutions that have taken over, and our academic institutions, our military, one of the most trusted institutions Americans forever have always believed in. I say that, I'll step back. The early Americans did not want a standing army because they knew what they could do. They could march across the country like they did in Europe. But over time, they have seen that the American military has been trustworthy. I don't know if I can say that anymore.
I don't know about that either. And we were talking before we went on the air about the this new thing where young men ages 18 to 26 have to register for the draft. I'm very concerned about that. I don't quite understand why. And the other thing that's interesting is my understanding is it's not just citizens. It's any male residing in the country right now. This is a dangerous thing to have happen, I think, Brad Beck.
We are at a tipping point, obviously. We may you live in interesting times, I think is an old Chinese saying, and we are. And I'm optimistic, but I'm also realistic. I have this hope for a better world, a better time. Otherwise, you know, you look at your kids and you go, really? I just don't know what to do. Or your grandchildren. The other side of it is I know the spirit of the American people. And most people want the best for their families, for themselves. They want to pursue their happiness in a way that is free without encumbering other people, without hurting other people. They want to be free. And the only way that we have innovation and creativity is through freedom. If we're constrained, there's no way we can do what we need to do. And you look at countries like, I mean, it's North Korea, South Korea. The North Koreans, for the most part, unless you're part of the elite, are starving to death, always. I mean, they get the minimum. And you talk against the government, you're gone. Or you put in a camp. So you look down at the other border at South Korea, and it's a pretty free, democratic country. And you have to ask yourself, okay, why is that?
What's the difference?
Look at the lights at night. I mean, we've seen them.
The maps.
Yeah, the maps at night. Or you look at Hispaniola, Haiti, and the Dominican Republic in our hemisphere. And one's totally disforested, there's revolution, and amazingly, there's a big wall, a fence, between that the left side of, which is probably appropriate, the left side of the island, as opposed to the right side of the island, and they have trees, they have freedom, they have all the things that we have as a republic.
It's such an important distinction. I'm talking with Brad Beck, and we have these important discussions because of our sponsors. One of those is Lavaca Meat Company.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lorne understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. We are pre-recording for this week of the 4th of July, and a great thing to do to honor this great country of ours is to make a contribution to the USMC Memorial Foundation. They're raising money for the remodel of the Marine Memorial. And it is so important that we honor those that have given their lives or been willing to give their lives for our freedom. And a great way to do that would be to make a contribution to the USMC Memorial Foundation. And also, I wanted to mention Jansen Photography. They are located in Lakewood, Colorado on a beautiful old farmstead. And my friends, for your business or your political career, you need that photo to open up that door with that first impression. And Jansen Photography can help you with that. And that is JANSSENphotography.com. And as I mentioned, we're pre-recording for this week. And in studio with me is Brad Beck. He's written a really beautiful piece, this Independence Day. But Brad, you mentioned this host of worthies and this idea that all men are created equal, with these rights from God of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. They didn't know what could happen, but you know what happened? The American middle class happened, where everyday people, where they're able to keep most of the fruits of their labor and keep their property, the things they think about, the things that they build with their hands, what could happen? Well, everyday people could have their own castle, their own homes, their own whatever. And so... That's what's, I think that's really unique about the American idea.
What's even more incredible, Kim, is friends of ours who are from all around the world, who came here legally, took lots of time and treasure. People from Cuba and Sweden and Mexico and you name it, China, who knew there was something different in the world and they pursued it to pursue their happiness. And they came here pursuing freedom, the freedom to speak, the freedom to read, the freedom to vote, the freedom to build something for themselves. And they're the canaries in the coal mine. They see what's happening to this country, and they see, and I know many of them are warning us, hey, guys, don't go down that path. Mm-hmm. I lived that experience. You don't want to go down there. And so we as citizens, citizenship has responsibility. And we have to quit saying, well, when I retire, when I have time, when the right issue comes up, find an issue that you're passionate about and think about doing something, writing a letter to an editor, going and sitting in a town hall meeting. I mean, I know they're excruciating, and a lot of times you won't understand things, but those who have never been to a town hall meeting or a school board meeting and sitting in, there's a childlike quality that they could ask the question, you know, I was sitting there as an audience member. I've never been here before. Can you explain what that vote meant? I mean, that's powerful. and then say, hey, you know, I'd like to know more. Can we have coffee? Mm-hmm. Can you explain it? I mean, not to find out things nefariously, but just to get their take on it. And any time I hear people talking about, well, we're here to help. The government's here to help. You know, my antennas go up. I don't need the help. Thank you very much. There may be people that do. And I think private enterprise can do a much better job than the government. Government's job is to protect rights. Period. It's not to give us stuff, not to help us, not to make us necessarily in their mold, but they're there to protect the rights, to protect us from the criminals and from foreign invaders or potential invaders, and to adjudicate our differences. That's what the federal government is. Everything else should be at the local level, where we have the opportunity to challenge the thought process and the legislation that is pending.
Question for you. And that is regarding the local level. First of all, I've come to this aha. When we talk about local government, the first place we need to start is ourselves. We are the most local of all government. That's where we need to start. But there can be people that are tyrannous in local government. Could be the HOA. We've heard of that. I believe that even though the founders thought each of the colonies, each of the states would be a petri dish and they could do different things, that this litmus test of our Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, any ordinance, initiative, piece of legislation has to go through that litmus test before anything can be passed. But that's not the case, that we have different states and counties do different things that are antithetical to that. But I really think that every government should have to have that as a litmus test. What do you think?
I would agree. And I go back to Abraham Lincoln's fragments on the Constitution, where he talked about that apple of gold, the Declaration, and the Constitution, the frame of silver. And the frame of silver, the Constitution, is Robert's Rules of Order. It's how you do it, but it takes its direction from the Declaration. In other words, all those things that our founders and Jefferson were talking about that the king did and all the usurpations, they were flipped into our Constitution because the Articles of Confederation were so loosely written that there was no teeth in them. And so you had this Federalist, Anti-Federalist back and forth. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really helped galvanize the Union was this idea of the Bill of Rights, because you would put in what the government could not do. Mm-hmm. The problem with it is then you'd have to put in everything. And they didn't think that as we progressed over time that things would turn out the way they did. They use their reason and their faculties, mm-hmm. but they also have mechanisms throughout, you know, Article 5 and, you know, doing different things to prevent the tyranny of the masses. I think local government should remember how they're formed. You know, it is there to live in a society that respects rights. We're sovereigns. We should be able to keep what we produce without being encumbered with more taxes that are unnecessary because somebody has a pet project or somebody wants to build a park or a pool for the greater good. Well, I say, okay, that's wonderful. Convince me. If you can convince me that it's worth me investing my labor, my time, my treasure into doing something for the benefit of others, I might contribute. But through the force of government, I'm going to push back. Do we really need, even at a local level, another library, another statue, another, you know, art in public places? No. Talk to me. Convince me. Convince my neighbors. And let's figure out a way to do it. Maybe we get sponsorship from a local entity, a business, or a non-for-profit, and we go forward there. It's a much better way of doing government.
Lower taxes. And that's one of the reasons why I'm president of the Colorado Union of Taxpayers.
And I'm a member.
Yeah, and the group is doing amazing work. Wanted to just mention, I think you mentioned the Statue of Liberty. And what is written on it, many times those radical activist extremists have used those first words to tax us more, to take more and more of our stuff for those that would be less fortunate. But you need to read the whole thing. It says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. And they stop there and they say, government should step in and do something about it. But you have to finish what it says, yearning to breathe free. I think that's so important to recognize that.
The idea of the American experiment is based on so many things, but assimilation and belief in those ideas. When you come to America legally, you are given a test to study, to understand our history, good, bad, and indifferent. And we need to do it as Americans born here, and not enough Americans know our history. It's funny, my daughter for Father's Day gave me a book on the American quizzes, chapter going back to ancient Egypt to modern times. And there's a whole segment in there of the American founding and progressivism and on and on. And I'm reading some of these things, and I'm like, of course, I got that answer, and I got that answer. And then I come to one and go, gosh, I don't know that. I need to do some research on mm-hmm. that, you know. Mm-hmm. We all need to do more research. And instead of watching or been watching Netflix, take a half an hour and study.
Read a book. Read the Declaration.
Yeah, read the Declaration, the Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance.
I need to read that. But the Declaration, you're a co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters.
Correct.
And we have Liberty Toastmasters table topics once a month. And so I gave them as a subject the usurpations in the Declaration. It was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we talk about those big ideas in Liberty Toastmasters. We theme our meetings around them. And I think it's important. People are afraid of having civil conversations and agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's what our founders did. Mm-hmm. They went to taverns, drank their, you know, beverage of choice, and debated, discussed, argued. And then they came across different ideas, and they might have incorporated mm-hmm. those different ideas to make things better for mm-hmm. the society that they wanted to create.
And they became better people.
Absolutely.
By doing that.
Absolutely.
Brad Beck, this is so fascinating, and we get to have these discussions because of our sponsors. One of those is John Boson with Boson Law.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms has a wide selection of firearms along with fully stocked ammunition and accessories ready for you. Franktown prides themselves on being a family-friendly indoor gun range and shop, always striving to make their customers comfortable. Franktown will work with you and meet you where your experience level is. Their staff and instructors will help you find what you need and develop your skills to a whole new level. Have some fun practicing on the range any day, or come in for tactical fun night or ladies' night. For a limited time, they'll let KLZ listeners rent a firearm for free when you rent a lane, Class 3 guns not included. And when you sign up for membership, they'll give you your first month free, just for being a KLZ listener. So come find out why everyone loves Franktown Firearms today. Learn more about this one-of-a-kind gun shop and range at klzradio.com/Franktown. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. That idea should be able to stand on its own merit. And I tell you, a great place of great ideas is the Center for American Values, located on the beautiful Riverwalk in Pueblo, Colorado. I'd recommend that you go down there this week and celebrate and honor our Medal of Honor recipients and these great educational programs that they're doing. You can get more information by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. And we are pre-recording this week with special guests. One of those is Brad Beck. He's in studio with me. And you've written this really important piece regarding Independence Day, some of your traditions. And I was thinking about, you mentioned leadership program in the Rockies. And I went through the program, graduated in 2012. And on the last day of the year, of the leadership program in the Rockies year, Bob Schaefer does I think it's the Thomas Paine speech, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death.
Patrick Henry.
Oh, Patrick Henry. That's right. Patrick Henry. Very good. And the year that I was in, we were meeting at a property over on Bellevue, which is a horse property. And the air conditioning was not working in the facility. And this was in June. It was hot. And you could hear the horses neighing. I think there were some roosters. And then Bob gave that Patrick Henry speech, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is kind of like what it might have been like. And so powerful.
If you can imagine those people in Virginia at that time, got out of the capital, Williamsburg, and went down to Richmond, where they probably thought that they weren't being listened to by government, kind of apropos today.
Mm-hmm. Deja vu all over again.
And they went to St. John's Church, and they listened to a variety of speeches, but then they listened to Patrick Henry's speech on that day. And there were people, soldiers and citizens, listening in the the windows were open because it was hot, and they decided to open it up. And Patrick Henry gave his speech from, it was pieced together from remembrance. We don't know the actual verbiage, but we're pretty sure of what he said. And so if you ever had a chance to listen to it, it's powerful. But he's basically talking about, are we going to live freely, or are we going to live in chains? Are we going to live as men? Or are we going to be supinely on our back holding the phantom of hope? And after his speech, when he threw his hands up and brought one down and said, give me liberty or give me death, and one hand came like a dagger to his heart, and one of the soldiers outside the door exclaimed, bury me here. And he was, because the speech was so powerful. After this individual heard the story, and if you go to St. John's Church today, you can see that. Without the amplification, people in the gallery listening, Bob did that speech, the Honorable Bob Schaefer did that speech again this year, turned off the microphone, and did it beautifully. And you sit there and just go, we as Americans need to know these pieces of oratory and need to understand why they're important. Why should we read them? And then have a discussion with your family or your friends and say, what does that mean? And is it relevant today? Mm-hmm. Those are great conversations to have. Too often we're too busy talking about what's on social media. And, you know, all that's going to do is kind of corrupt your mind mm-hmm. with so much junk. But there are powerful words and powerful ideas and powerful people at a time where their lives were on the line.
They were.
For our freedom today. And so, yeah, go have a hot dog or, you know, have a beer or, you know, recreate. But for goodness sake, take the time to read the Declaration. Take the time to read those founding bits of mm-hmm. oratory or listen to them and try to think how that can apply to your life today. It's going to go away if we don't pass it on to right. our children and our grandchildren. And it's got to be important to mm-hmm. them, too.
I feel we're at the third founding of our country right now. Who are we? Are we going to survive? Are we going to pass this great idea on to the next generation? And Brad, at the beginning of the show, as you co-host, you now know all the little things that I say. But I've added in the part where I say we were made for this moment. Many times I'll say in history, we now, this is our time. And we must step forward. And so many people are. But it's in a big battle of ideas. That's really what the battles are. Is the battle was, are men free? Are they equal? in the eyes of God? Yes, those are big ideas. Ended up, they had to fight it out with weapons. We don't want it to get to that point because the ideas are so powerful. I think that it's attributed to Stalin, is that he said, ideas are more powerful than guns. We wouldn't let our enemies have guns. Why would we let them have ideas? And I think that's pretty powerful.
Well, education is a perfect example. What our children are learning in schools or what they're not learning.
Right.
The omission is as important as the indoctrination that has gone on. Now, I'm not against teachers. I'm not against schools. In Colorado, it's required that a child is compelled to go to school. And that's great. We need a literate population. But what are they teaching? And well, we found out during COVID, didn't we?
Yeah, and they're not literate. They're not being able to read and write. And young people cannot write cursive. And we've got to reclaim these basics. And Colorado is at the tip of the spear. I'm convinced of it. I think something amazing is going to happen here. But we cannot give up. There are those before us, blood and treasure. And, you know, as they were signing the Declaration of Independence, putting their names on that document, they could hear the cannon, the British cannon, just down the river, not very far away. They knew that they were signing a death sentence. And we can ask no less of ourselves.
Well, John Hancock had his signature so big because supposedly King George had bad eyesight. So he wanted to make sure he saw his signature. And, of course, hence we have it, give me your John Hancock, on a document. It was important for them, as I believe Franklin reiterated, somebody said, maybe it was Jefferson or Adams who said, we will surely...
It was Franklin. Hang.
Well, but Franklin jumped in and added the line.
Oh, okay.
Somebody said, we need to hang together, or surely we will hang separately.
Right, okay. So somebody started it, and then Franklin finished. I didn't know that.
Right now, I can't remember. Too many gray hairs. But it's important that these things be talked about, discussed, understood as citizens, free people. We are the luckiest people on the world.
We are so blessed.
In this time, I mean, you flip on a switch, you've got light, you flip on another switch, you got air conditioning, we've got indoor plumbing, we've got fresh water, we've got refrigeration, we've got washing machines and dryers.
And they're trying to take it away.
Right.
Under the guise of climate change.
Right. And, you know, change your climate then. Move over here or move over there, but leave me alone.
Well, the great thing about freedom is, you mentioned air conditioner, or we have heat in the winter, is that is our own personal climate. And they want to take away our own personal control over our personal climate, and we have to ask why. But that's just one thing. It's really what it is. It's about freedom.
And it's about control. Mm-hmm. They want to control us, the people, and don't want to participate. Otherwise, why do they have 15 homes? I don't condone success. But if you really want to help change the planet, get out of your private jet and don't have all those big homes and go to the fancy places and, you know.
Well, and the other question is, how did they get that? Now, if they get it through inheritance, my understanding is that, let's see, is it Al Gore? Who's married to Teresa Hines? Is it?
John Kerry.
John Kerry.
Yeah.
Okay, John Kerry's married to Teresa Hines of Hines Ketchup. Somebody had an idea about ketchup, and they were able to make a great business, and they became fabulously wealthy, and I don't begrudge that whatsoever.
Capitalism works.
Yeah. However, though, is if these bureaucrats are becoming wealthy because of public policy, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And that is the elites of the past, of the kings and the monarchs and all of that. Anyway, this is so interesting. We've got a couple of minutes left. So how do you want to button this up? And then I'll ask you for the quote for the end of the show.
Well, Kim, another tradition I always do is I love listening to music on my porch. I'll have a cigar and a bourbon and read and listen to friends. We have conversations who come over. And I love listening to one of my favorite musicians, believe it or not, is Charlie Daniels. I listen to him and Marshall Tucker Band and the Allman Brothers Band and Southern Rock, as they call it, Bluegrass. And I just love that type of music. And there are some lyrics that Charlie Daniels put on a CD that I purchased, believe it or not, at a wonderful Cracker Barrel in Tennessee. And I have all his albums, but I didn't have this particular song. It's really a poem set to a guitar called My Beautiful America.
Okay.
And I've done this presentation. I've recorded it. People want to go to my website, my YouTube channel. It's there.
What's your website?
Well, BradleyCraigBeck.com is okay. My website, and I have all kinds of stuff there.
Okay.
Mainly for business and, you know, just to promote. I want to be in control of what's said about me. But the quote that is at the end, the part that, you know, around the world there's beautiful places. But there's a spirit here that's unique in America. And the last quote of or portion of My Beautiful America is, quote, "This then is America, the land that God blesses with everything. And no Eiffel Tower, no Taj Mahal, no Alps nor Andes, nor native hut, nor royal palace can rival our awesome beauty, her diverse population, her monolithic majesty, America the free. America the mighty. America the beautiful."
Brad Beck, thank you.
My pleasure.
This is awesome.
Happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day. And my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.